flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Celtics Wednesday here on Jones and Keith. It's hour number 2. We will get to Would You Rathers coming up about 20 minutes from now. Plus all your phone calls, 617-779-7937. I still see callers hanging out to give us their Patriots plan. Callers get 30 seconds to fix the Patriots, Keith.
And some don't even need it. Some
need
10 seconds, 15 seconds. Maybe that's too much.
Some had 20 seconds of giant head jokes and then launched into their plan.
However you want to use your time is fine.
However you want to utilize it. Right. So if you missed our plans, first of all, they're on social media, at Keefe21, at Jones WEEI, at Jones and Keefe on Twitter and Instagram. We'll reset those plans in the noontime hour. We are also efforting to get Jermaine Wiggins. His 60-second Patriot plan.
Yeah, people want it.
The Twitch chat is demanding it at this point. Mm-hmm. We're going to put Wiggy on the clock and get his plan in 60 seconds. But as I said, it is a Celtics Wednesday. We have Justin Turpin from WEEI joining us here. What's up, Turp?
Did I hear you guys are like pork and tuna?
Lamb and tuna fish. Are you too young for that film?
Yeah, so I missed the reference in real time. So that's a Big Daddy reference.
Yeah, oh, missed it in
no,
real time?
No, I missed it.
You did?
I forgot. Yeah, yes. Bad job by me. I was so excited about the 30-second Patriot plan.
That's true. Lanny's,
but that's a movie reference.
Lanny's the number one.
He's the Sandler guy.
Oh, yeah. So Lanny got that. Yeah, that's a Big Daddy reference.
I didn't think those two went together traditionally. I was pretty confused.
Hence the joke.
No, they don't.
The Celtics are
bombing in threes.
Thank you.
So
I was about to make a bad lamb and tuna fish.
No, forget the lamb and tuna.
I'm happy you saved
me. Let me jump in there. So this was an interesting tweet by Grandy. He puts out always like these stat-based tweets. And so one of them was, no Celtic has ever made 250 threes in a season. Isaiah Thomas from 2017 actually is the all-time single season
I haven't seen this tweet. Can I guess how it finishes?
Sure.
Three Celtics are on pace for that or
Correct.
Something like that? So Tatum, Pritchard.
And Derek White.
That would not
so
have been
nobody
my guess.
Has ever done it in franchise history, and now three of them are on pace to break the record right now. But we know they shoot more threes. They shot a lot of threes with Stevens. They shot more with Udoka, and they take even more with Joe Mazzulla. And it's also become this big sort of discussion league-wide, and the Celtics are kind of the face of it. You know, are
definitely.
Is there too many threes in the NBA?
I don't think so, because that's how you win games. Like, that's just how you win the game now. Teams are more protecting the paint more, and they're leaving more open threes in the Celtics.
So
offense.
Is it good for the viewer?
Thank you.
Because I'm with you. Like, the math checks out, right? Like, you hate to get too nerdy with it, but the math checks out. They just won the title doing it this way. They're on pace to win the title again doing it this way. But take the wins and losses out of it. Take, like, so you're not running the Celtics. You're just a fan watching them, or the league in general. Is it good to see guys just take more threes than twos in an NBA game?
I enjoy it, but I don't understand what the alternative would be. So what, are you going to get rid of the three-point line?
Three-point dunks.
Three-point, well, that'd be pretty fun. But then again, it would just be the same problem where they're going to force you to take long jumpers, and it's going to be the same thing you have. It's just the game is played differently
now.
Yeah,
but you de-emphasize the I mean, there's got to be a way to de-emphasize the three. Is it moving the line back?
There's been a lot of different ones. They all sound crazy at first, but then you're like...
I think I heard Mego say take away the corner three.
I've heard that
That'd be the most realistic.
Okay, so take away the corner three.
The corner office?
Move the three-point line
back. What's
Grant
Williams going to do?
Three-point dunks is an extreme one, but I don't hate it. But, like, is there is there a way to de-emphasize the three? Because...
Cat's out of the bag.
Well, and Terp, I get your point. Right now, the rules are the rules, and the best way to win is launching a bunch of threes and have a scoring margin from beyond three. The Wizards game the other night is a good example of it, where the Celtics are bombing away and the other team can't hit. Okay? But that doesn't make it a good product. And this is how people would talk about baseball a decade ago. And the NBA is a much younger viewership base, although they're having ratings issues now as well. But it's a much younger audience, so I don't think they're in the same place baseball is. But it's like, oh, well, you win on launch angle, and you win on spin rates, and you win on three outcomes. You might win on all those things, and it may work. It's not fun to watch, and it seems like viewers are echoing that, is what it seems.
To me, though, the ratings are kind of in a bizarre spot because the NBA announced an all-time attendance record just in April. So people are still consuming the product. It's just how they're doing it, and there's a lot that goes into it, and the rating system is a little bizarre, right? Because you have the Nielsen, and that's only a Nielsen household, so it's really hard to understand why people are tuning in.
There is ways to juke the
what
attendance
about streaming
records, too. Well, what about streaming? It's a fair point, but are other sports cratering ratings-wise? Like, is the NFL cratering?
NFL's the only thing that is not, like...
It's also a lot more accessible.
Gonna get knocked down.
A lot
down.
Of these are on regional networks, and TNT and ESPN, these are subscription-based, whereas CBS and Fox, I mean... Those come with your package.
So you think it's purely about people streaming and nothing else?
I don't think it's purely that. I think there's a lot that goes into it. Part of it, probably people are sick of the threes.
You had a good theory about stars as well.
Yeah, so a couple actually as it relates. So one, I think, LeBron, Durant, and Curry are all still good players, but they're not what they were. Yeah. I mean, LeBron's gone AWOL. So it's like those three guys, it's a changing of the guard. I also wonder, three or four of the best players in the world outside of Jason Tatum aren't Americans? Like, does that have any impact? Like, Luka, Jokic, Giannis. I mean, Gildas Alexander's Canadian,
that barely counts.
Yeah, whatever. But, like, I don't know. Like, that's the first time we've seen that. Like, you had Dirk Nowitzki, but Dirk was popular when LeBron was and Garnett and, like, all these other guys. Like, it seems like the top tier guys around the league aren't even Americans. I don't know if that has any impact on the American ratings.
What specifically comes to mind is Nikola Jokic. Like, he's the best player in the world, and people question if he even likes the damn sport.
I don't think he likes basketball. He'd rather be out there with his horse.
That's
raising,
hard.
Raising
so, like,
and brushing horses.
Yeah.
The marketability of the stars is also part of it. And like you said, there's that changing of the guard where these older guys that people really grew to love, LeBron and Curry, KD, all these guys are kind of aging out where we don't even know where LeBron is right now.
Like, jeez, I mean, what is going on with that? That should be
bizarre.
Covered a little bit more, don't you think?
So part of it is the marketability of the stars, and also it's part of just the ebbs and flows of when it's moving.
Like that can't be ideal. So right when Magic and Bird basically saved the NBA, it was L.A., Boston, coast to coast, superstar players. Your best player in the world is a Serbian player who plays for the Denver Nuggets.
Like, a lot of their games are late.
Well, that's also true. Even if you want to see them out East Coast, you got to watch them at 9:30, 10 o'clock. So that can't help.
I agree it can't be ideal, but, like, Hakeem was very marketable. Dikembe Mutombo was not, like, a great player, very marketable. So, like, you have a history of international players who are marketable. You know, I don't think it's ideal. Like, I think if a league has their way, your best players are American, that probably makes them the most marketable. Whether that's right or wrong, we can debate, but that probably is realistic.
No, I think three-point shot is something.
I think the three-point shot is a problem. I think it feels like baseball where now you're exploiting loopholes, and it might work and lead to wins and losses. It's not a fun watch. There might be something to stars aging out, and they're still shoved down our throat, as opposed to really championing some of the younger players. But, I don't know, the Celtics are fairly young, and they're good, and they're on TV now in the second half of the year, basically every week.
Yeah, and
every game.
that's because they are trying to push these younger stars, guys like Anthony Edwards, guys like Jason Tatum. They want them to be marketable. They want them to be at the front. But I just don't think there is a correlation necessarily with the threes. I mean, I understand that some people might not like it, but you want to see points. I think a lot of leagues want to see points. They don't really want to see these low-scoring teams. They want to see games going back and forth.
Some of those 90s games were a drag.
Yeah.
Right? Like, there was, remember during The Last Dance? And it was like the Utah Jazz, I think, in an NBA Finals game scored like 50 points.
Okay.
And you're like, what?
What was the final in the NBA Cup last night? That wasn't good.
Neither team. Oh,
that was, that was a low-scoring.
And they were still
slog.
Shooting the threes.
They were bombing threes.
I mean, Thunder, 1 of 17 in the first half. Like, they were letting them fly. I mean,
yeah,
and then
so
they
look,
lost because they lost the 3-point.
I battle. Love offense. I like points. I'm with mm-hmm. you on that. Mm-hmm. But now, okay, we're going to get a lot of scoring. What would I rather see? Jaylen Brown launching threes or Jaylen Brown, you know, throwing it down on people? Like, to me, it's really not that close. I would rather – I think Nick Wright has a point there. I don't know if you got to make it a 3-point dunk.
Yeah,
but there is a point to incentivizing Anthony Edwards to stand 25 feet away from the bat. Even Porzingis. How far away is Porzingis launching – he's not even at the 3-point line. He's like 2 steps behind the 3-point line with every three he takes. There's something about incentivizing players to get closer to the hoop and reward athleticism than just launching threes from 25 feet away.
But even in the Warriors, their run, and three of the last four, I think it was, highest-rated NBA Finals involved Steph Curry, and that Warriors team was bombing threes.
And LeBron, but
all it is, and LeBron, and all it is, though, is they're taking probably about, 15% of their mid-range shots? Because the mid-range is really not a thing anymore. So they're just taking
now the lone mid-ranger, DeMar DeRozan out there.
Yeah.
All you're doing
to get it
is
done.
Moving back like 5 feet. Is
no, but
really
it is one of those things
of
where Curry and the Splash Brothers were incredibly fun to watch. They sort of kind of, I wouldn't say, yeah, I mean, they were at the forefront of, you know, just taking more threes and just like launching threes. And every team in the league saw that and was like, we're going to do that, but they don't do it as well. And so, yeah, like the Celtics do it well and they're going to win a lot of games. But I think night in and night out, when you're watching teams just sort of not run anything and then just like launch a three, that sort of seems like what's viewed as like a good possession. And I don't know. I can see how some fans might be just tired of that. Also, there is sort of the everything besides the NFL is kind of going down. Like, I'm sure
that's
good
true.
TV shows are, there's just so much crap to watch, whether it's live sports or new streaming shows or whatever else. So, like, I think that's always going to take a hit, too.
It does feel like the NBA is taking more than its fair
that's
share
true.
Of a hit.
That's true.
Real quick, Turb. Let's open up to some phone calls here in a moment. There's a lot of people looking to weigh in on this debate. So we'll take some calls with Turb, if you don't mind. But do you think the NBA Cup was a success or a fail? Like, the Bucks winning as an NBA Cup guy, Keith?
Yeah, how do you feel about that?
I don't think that helped anything. Like, I think the Thunder winning, maybe you could spin that forward and say this is a young team that
Bucks feel like the Lakers from a year ago.
Bucks feel like the Lakers
Darvin
from
Ham,
a year ago.
I told Jones yesterday.
You did tell me
I
this.
I told him.
I go, who's
him
Darvin?
Torian Prince.
Who's Darvin Ham even with? You told me. I was unaware.
Never lost an NBA Cup game.
How about that? A greatest winner in the history of the NBA
they
Cup.
They should call it the Darvin Ham
Darvin
trophy.
Ham.
And Torian Prince. He was there too.
Wow.
Hit some big threes.
They sure did. I don't think Doc Rivers winning any sort of hardware and the Bucks winning helps my case for the NBA Cup. I don't.
I think it does. From the storyline standpoint, I think there are plenty. It's like now people are going to overreact about this Thunder team. Unfortunately, they had their worst game of the year on probably one of the bigger stages they've had. And now people are going to wonder, are they actually that good? Because you see this is a team beating.
You know what, Terp? Good point. I was coming at it from the wrong direction. Rip the Thunder.
Rip the Thunder.
Rip the Thunder.
Are the
good point. How did I not come up with that?
Come on, that's like right up your alley.
Brilliant point.
Thunder aren't a serious
the
team.
The Thunder aren't a real team. Yeah. They lost the NBA Cup. They couldn't even break 100 in the NBA Cup. Terp, you
and
nailed
now
it.
The Bucks have really turned it around. I mean, they were 2-8 at one point, and then they started to find their three. I mean, top three or top five in 3-point makes and percentage, top 10 in defense. They've really turned it around. It's now people are going to kind of make a big deal out of this. Like, oh, are the Bucks actually, could they challenge the Celtics?
Where do you put the Bucks in the East?
I put them up there as one of the only teams that really could compete with the Celtics.
Okay. Bucks or Knicks?
I'd probably still lean the Knicks.
Okay, Bucks or Cavs?
Cavs.
Okay, Bucks or?
Bucks are third in there.
You like the Pacers, right? Are you off them?
I do. I'm kind of coming off them a little bit.
Okay, so you have fourth in the East.
Well, we talked about the Bucks last week, too. I think the way they're playing now, and they were never, when they were a 2-8 team, I don't think that was really indicative of who they are. Like, the team with Dame and Giannis, no matter who else is their surrounding cast, and the surrounding cast has plenty of questions, they're not 2-8. Like, they're better than that. And I also question, like, we haven't seen Giannis healthy in the playoffs since, 2022?
Yeah.
So that's a whole thing, too, is how healthy will he be?
Fair point. Good point here on the text line as well. 617-779-7937. Too many bad teams are shooting threes, and they can't do it like the Celtics.
I think that's a part of it.
That is fit. Like, the Celtics shooting threes maybe isn't as maddening as the whole league doing it.
Look at the Bulls, who they play tomorrow.
Yeah.
They're 13-15, I believe. Then they shoot the second most threes in the league.
So, yeah. So maybe it might not be a Celtics problem, but it is an NBA problem.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go to some of these phone calls. Tarek is in Boston. Go ahead, Tarek.
How you doing, fellas? Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
You know, have we ever been happy with the NBA? I mean, let's go through the years. I mean, the 80s, we complained about, the Jordan era, we complained about him being a ball hog and that he didn't play defense, and he starts playing defense and gets the team to play such good defense that the point totals plummet in the league. So the 90s are just basically unwatchable. Then the 2000s is the Kobe era. It's like this ISO ball thing. Then they get rid of the hand checking. So now guys are just flying all over the place, running up the score. We've never really been happy with the sport. We always have a tweak. We always have something that we want to complain about with the sport. Shaq, he bullies too much. Giannis bullies too much. We complain about the game because it doesn't look the way we expect it
to. That's fine. We're going to complain a lot.
That's
fine.
Actually pretty fun.
That's kind of my side of the street.
It is true. They're not scoring enough. They're scoring too much.
But in the 80s, ratings were good.
Yeah.
And, in the early 2000s, ratings were good, and now they're not. And so that's why I think it's a little more relevant. You can complain, but people were definitely watching Bird and Magic. People were watching LeBron in the 2010. You were talking about just those Warriors teams. So the NBA didn't have the issue of people tuning in.
Do you like it when you know who the finals teams are going to be before the beginning of the year, which we had a lot of times in the NBA? Or do you like going into the season and be like, I have no idea who's going to come out of the conference?
I mean, my answer would be parody, but I don't think that's really how I feel. I like knowing that the Celtics are on a collision course with Kobe.
People only parody if their team isn't one of the three best teams.
Yes.
When your team's one of the, I can't stand LeBron, but you knew it was going to be LeBron Curry in the finals. I'm like, can't really do much better than that. Like, I'll watch that. I was watching that. And, Jordan and Bird was Bird and Magic a little bit before my time, but I'm sure when those teams met in the finals, people were pretty fired up about it. Right, like, oh, it's the same two teams. Like, yeah, they're the best two teams.
I think part of it is just a conversation around the league. It's always, we're still so hung up on the Lakers. There's so many better teams that need to be discussed. Like, it's still all about, oh, how does this affect LeBron's legacy? It's all about LeBron.
Yeah.
It's still all about these aging stars where these shows that literally carry the games, they have all these talk shows fed by former players who are all just miserable about the state of the game.
So if the five best players in the world right now are in some order, Jokic, Doncic, Tatum, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, and Giannis, in some order.
Yeah.
Are those guys good enough personality-wise? Like, when you had Shaq and Kobe.
Well, Tatum has negative personality. Like, he has no personality.
Jokic doesn't want to talk to anybody.
Yep, same.
Doncic, I feel like, does have personality. I don't see really national stuff.
I think that's why they're pushing for Anthony Edwards.
Got it.
Because he's a guy who has plenty of personality.
That's a good point. You
need it to be him.
Giannis has turned into a giant.
I don't like Giannis.
Weenie.
I give Hart credit. Hart hated Giannis like 6 years ago. And I'm like, who hates Giannis? He's like, I do. And now I'm like, I've come around. I'm like, yeah, I can't stand him either.
And another part of it, too.
He won and became hateable.
Right.
Especially now is like, I feel like a lot of people are just consuming their NBA content on social media and stuff. Like, we don't have to watch
the highlights.
We'll watch the highlights.
Well, guess
what?
That's baseball.
That's yeah.
You know, so I mean, that's baseball, Susan. But that's baseball. that's where people are watching. Is hey, I'll get my home run highlights, and I'm not going to sit through a whole game. I'm going to watch the clips.
Yeah.
And I think that.
But
is,
we always talk about how long that season is too. Like they play twice as many regular season games as the NBA teams. Well, but people are even probably looking at that too.
Not to bring it back to the NBA Cup. This is why I like it though, because 82 games is not 162. But it is too long, and the adage is the season doesn't start until Christmas Day anyway in the NBA. So they're trying to make early season games relevant. It may not work. People push back on it. That's fine.
I mean,
fine.
You're a proponent of it. But
they are trying to do it.
That's an attempt, right?
Yeah.
And like they've tried to do it with – they try not to schedule back-to-backs around primetime games to really want the star players to play in the primetime. Like I get what they're doing. It's not really having the effect. I saw a tweet the other day that said – I think it must have been the semifinals of the NBA Cup.
Did horrible.
Past Saturday, got outdone by WWE's Saturday Night Main Event.
Not good.
Like head-to-head, so more people watch wrestling than they watch.
Part of it is the randomness, too.
Yeah.
I mean, look at that crowd last night. There was no buzz in that arena.
It's true.
Like, and it's Las Vegas, so like they have no ties to Oklahoma City or Milwaukee.
They
so
should be betting
the
on the game. They should be screaming at every rebound and like going nuts. But I guess
everything.
Not.
Like,
I guess they weren't.
There's just no interest because of the randomness. And teams like Boston, it's like, why do they want to play in this game that literally doesn't count towards the standings? There's nothing like last night's game.
That game doesn't.
Doesn't count for any stats. The other ones do,
yeah,
right.
But the one they lost on the way
like,
counted.
Selling out to go there, the point differential and stuff, because you might not necessarily want to play in that game. Like, what if you have a guy like Kristaps Porzingis? What if he gets hurt in that game? There's just no incentive.
He's already been hurt twice in seven games. So that's probably happening anyway.
Probably going to get hurt again.
What? Any fear with him?
I think a lot of it's precautionary. I mean, obviously, it's part of Kristaps Porzingis. Everyone knew this was part of the deal that comes with him is you're going to have to be worried about it. It's kind of like Gronk. Like, when he's on the field or on the court, they're almost unstoppable. But it's a matter of keeping him on there. And it's been a problem throughout his career. Like, this is nothing new. And people seemingly still always overreact to it. And I understand the frustration. You're paying this guy a lot of money, and he's important to their final hopes. But everyone understood that you're getting this with him. This is what comes with him. So I'm not really too worried about it. I think especially these two early on here since he's come back, I think a lot of it's precautionary.
Looking ahead on their schedule, so they got a couple games with the Bulls, like whatever, coming up. But in the new year, do you see the stretch?
Gauntlet.
I love it. They have four straight road games, Minnesota, Houston, Oklahoma City, Denver. That's literally the best. I know some people are like, why not Golden State and the Lakers? Don't care. That is Minnesota. Could see them in the finals. It's Ime Udoka. Mm-hmm. It's Oklahoma
Who
City.
Who has them playing really good.
Who's got them playing great because he's the best coach in the league.
Yeah,
Oklahoma City.
The Choking Thunder, yep.
Choking Thunder.
Yep.
Probably won't make the finals now if you're losing the NBA Cup.
Definitely not.
And then Denver, best player in the world, maybe a finals preview as
well.
The
only team they didn't beat last year.
Was Denver?
Denver, yeah. 0-2 against Denver last year.
That's a good nugget.
How about that?
How do you like that?
A good nugget.
So that's exciting. They have the Christmas Day game, too, which is against Philly.
This is another thing, too. How the Oklahoma City Thunder not playing on Christmas? Like,
They're not?
That's a bad job. Well, that's a bad job by the NBA.
Yes and no.
They just lost the cup.
What market is okay?
But you want to push these younger stars.
But you would want him on there, I would think.
Okay,
no, they are playing. Oh, no, they're not. They're playing the 26th. They hit the wrong date. So you have Spurs, Knicks. At least it's Wembanyama.
Wemby, Jalen Brunson.
At 12. 2:30 is Timberwolves, Mavericks.
Uh-huh.
What time is the Chiefs game? Is it right at 1?
Yeah, something like
that.
It's
on Amazon, right?
No, Netflix.
No, Mahomes.
No,
that
Netflix.
Could change things.
It's on Netflix.
If Mahomes doesn't play.
Then Sixers, Celtics, Lakers, Warriors, because they're just beating a dead horse.
Yeah.
And then Nuggets, Suns. Again, Durant, Curry, LeBron. Well, maybe LeBron.
Notice that, though. It's a good mixture of the older stars and also the younger stars. But you don't have...
Yeah, it's a lot of old stars.
With the exception of the 76ers, who are a total mess are coming
gross.
Here. It's it's gross.
Well, in fairness to you, I say OKC's a small market, and it is. But I'd imagine when it was Durant and Westbrook in OKC, they were on Christmas Day a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
Fair. All right. Terp, thanks for jumping in here. I know Celtics have practice, which is why we had to shuffle the time a little bit. Check out his work. Justin M. Turpin on social media and at WEEI. Covers the Celtics there. Does a great, great job covering all the press conferences, thoughts on the game, writing about the team, podcasting about the team. So check out Terp's work. Terp, we appreciate it. Every Celtics Wednesday here on Jones and Keefe. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys.
We'll get back to the Patriots. We'll get back to your thoughts on how to fix the NBA. We have some thoughts on the Red Sox as well before the hour's out. And it's a Would You Rather Wednesday. We'll do some Would You Rathers right after Trending with Billy Laney.